Once upon a time, centuries ago, there was a mighty lion who fell in love with a marmoset, a tiny monkey. Although their love was deep, they were a mismatched pair. The lion, so much larger and more powerful, knew that they could never truly be together. He was determined to overcome this, so the lion made the ultimate sacrifice. He asked Buddha to shrink him down. The mighty Buddha granted the lion's wish, taking away his size but leaving him his courage, loyalty, and mighty heart. From this union came the breed of dogs that lives to this day. This is the story of the Pekingese. Welcome to the Dog Studio, the podcast where we explore the incredible stories, legends, and histories of dogs we love. Today, we journey to ancient China to uncover the tale of the Pekingese, a breed born of myth and nurtured in the gilded halls of the emperors. Though the story of the lion and the marmoset is a fable, it reflects the reverence ancient China held for this remarkable breed. The Pekingese, often called the lion dog, was not just a pet. It was a symbol of power, divinity, and protection. The Pekingese was a favorite breed, or type of a dog, of the Dowager Empress Cixi, one of the most powerful women in the Chinese history. According to the records, the Empress particularly liked three types of dogs and she was breeding them for years. One of them was short-coated, the second one was long-coated with long coat covering the whole face and body, and the third one had long coat but a smooth face. These, of course, are the breeds we know today as Pugs, Shih Tzus, and the last one is the Pekingese. All of these dogs had distinct features that separated them from each other, and according to historical records, the breeding of these types of dogs was strictly separate. They were never bred together. However, all these breeds had similar features, short nose, round eyes, tails over their backs, and considering their temperament, they are also very similar. Brave, strong-headed, and stubborn, and all of them companion dogs with a loving affection to their owners. But today we are looking especially at Pekingese, a breed that's so unique that to this day it baffles some of the animal rights activists and both the dog enthusiasts who just simply cannot believe how a dog like this could have been created. As all dogs had developed from wolf, people often wonder what made the humankind create such a unique and distinct creature such as Pekingese. The answer lies in their purpose. The Dowager Empress was the creator of these dogs. She named them lion dogs. There were approximately 1,000 eunuchs employed by the Empress just to take care of these dogs. So you can only imagine the vast number of dogs that were bred every year. And the animals were valued as the most precious treasures. If any animal was hurt by the caretaker, even by a mistake, the caretaker paid for this by his own life. It goes to show how the society valued these dogs, some might say even more than people. The Empress valued these small-sized dogs because they could easily be carried in the long sleeves of the ladies' kimonos. There's an actual translation of the description the Empress wrote down so that the type of dogs could be specified and exactly followed too. Today we would say this is the first written standard. The empress wrote down, "Let the lion dog be small. Let it wear the swelling cape of dignity around his neck. Let the display of beveling standards of pomp above its back. Let his face be black. Let its forefront be shaggy. Let its forehead be straight and low, like the brows of the imperial harmony boxer. Let its eyes be large and luminous. Let its ears be set like the sails of the war junk. Let its nose be like that of a monkey god of Hindus. Let its forelegs be bent so that it shall not desire to wander far or leave the imperial palace." This description goes to notify every single detail of the lion dog. Color is one of the most important distinctions and the features of the breed, at least at that time. All colors were bred to complement the different colors of kimonos worn in those days. Highly valued were the sand dogs, or gold or red colors, as they resembled the actual lion. The black dogs were also very much liked. However, there was a color that was to be avoided and was not desirable. This was, the pure white color, as white color is a color of mourning in China. The Dowager Empress wanted her dogs to be fainty in food. They were fed shark fins, and to drink they were given tea brewed from the spring buds or milk from the antelopes that pastured on the imperial parks. If the dogs were ill, there was a special routine which was described on how to take care of these sick animals. However, the empress also writes that if the lion dog dies, remember, thou too are mortal. This is a beautiful description that describes not only how the breed should look, but how strong the connection of the Empress of China had to her beloved dogs. The Pekingese privileged life came to the sudden halt after the death of Dowager Empress in 1908. Successor did not share the affection for the breed, and many of the palace's Pekingese dogs were ordered to be culled. However, the breed's survival was ensured by the loyalty of the caretakers, the eunuchs who cared for these beautiful animals. They loved them, and so they smuggled the dogs out of the palace and gifted them to the nobles, scholars, and dignitaries who continued to cherish and protect them. The breed gained international fame after the Second Opium War in 1860. This was the time when British troops looted the Summer Palace of China. Among the treasures they discovered were five Pekingese dogs, described as, quote, small lion-like creatures. And it's believed that all the Pekingese we know today can be traced back to these five dogs. One of these dogs was presented to Queen Victoria, who was immediately enchanted. She named her new companion Luti, the circumstances of his discovery, and soon the Pekingese became a symbol of status and refinement in Europe. By this time, the Pekingese were often called foo dogs, as though they were resembling the stone lion statues that guarded the temples of China. Their role as protectors of the imperial family was both symbolic and practical. The Chinese and Buddhists admired lions and referred to them as kings of animals. However, the lion, as the animal, has never lived in China. But we shall talk more about this in the future episodes. By the early 20th century, the Pekingese became a status symbol among the European and American elites. Hollywood royalty, including Elizabeth Taylor, adored this breed and it frequently appeared in portraits of high society. One could argue that the breed of Pekingese has no purpose today and cannot really be used for any purpose. They are definitely impossible to herd or hunt with. The breed's sole purpose was to be a companion. That is the purpose of why they were created, and I might think that is exactly why they were so loved by the high society and survived to this day. While some smaller dogs in the past were bred down from larger spaniels or hunting dogs, the Pekingese had never had any other purpose other than look and act like a royalty. They have a strong soul and character. That is exactly what the Dowager Empress wanted from her dogs, and this is exactly what made the Pekingese survive. The Pekingese is more than just a breed. It's a living piece of history, a connection to the time of emperors, the legends, and untold luxury. Its journey from the palaces of ancient China to the homes of dog lovers around the world is a testament to its unique charm and resilience. So, the next time you see a Pekingese strutting around proudly, remember its royal roots and the legend of the lion who sacrificed everything for love. Thank you for exploring the fascinating world of dogs with me today. Remember, there is so much more to them than meets the eye. If you have enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to Dog Studio and share it with your friends. I'm Radek Blažo and this is Dog Studio. Until next time.